Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Jones and Keefe right now on WEEI. Are you
ready? Swings, lines it, right center field, base hit, and the Red Sox have the lead. Splits the outfielders, rolls to the triangle, Bregman around third, after Narvaez, Durant around third, they're setting him, he's all the way, he's in! Inside the park job! Sox lead 4-1 in the fifth.
When you get a pitch inner half to drive it into the right center field gap, right to the 420 triangle, nobody could get to it. Stand up inside the park, home run.
Man.
Welcome in to Jones and Keefe. In case you didn't notice, I am not Adam Jones. I'm John Lyons, and sitting next to me is not Rich Keefe. It's Dan Ball from the afternoon show.
Morning, John. How are you?
You know what? I'm doing pretty well, Dan. And we have a lot to get to today. In case you haven't heard, the UNC Tar Heels have a new football coach.
Oh.
Yeah, by the name of Bill Belichick. He's got his first game tonight. We're going to talk about that.
Right.
We're going to give a Patriots season preview. Now, if you listened to me yesterday, you heard me talk quite a bit about that with Tom Carroll as well as on my own. But I'm going to talk a little bit about it with Dan today, and we're also going to hit on some other stuff as well. We're going to give some NFL predictions as well, and a little bit of Red Sox, because it is September 1st today. Where are they going to be on October 1st? Is the lack of a trade deadline actually going to catch up with them, or are they going to cruise into the playoffs and be fine? But before we get to any of that, I do want to touch on yesterday's game and this series against the Pirates as well, Dan, because yesterday's game, it was a good win. Giolito looks great again. Duran has the inside the park home run. But it does feel a little bit like in this series, you missed an opportunity to take 2 out of 3 with that Friday night loss as well. So again, good win yesterday, but still a little bit of a missed opportunity on the weekend as a whole.
Yeah, and another game to end a series, John, where you're salvaging a game to end a series, which is kind of remarkable because the same August drop-off that has kind of befallen Alex Cora teams in recent years didn't happen. The Red Sox were great in the month of August, ended strong, but we're still 3-4 in series play over the last seven.
I mean, they were 10-6 in their final 16 games of the month. So, like,
right.
You zoom out and you're like, oh, that's pretty good.
Right.
But then to your point, it felt like there was some kind of missed opportunities within there.
There were. You lost the chance to sweep against the Marlins a couple weeks back, and that was just
that was great. I was in the stands for that. That
really?
Was awesome. Yeah, that
so
was great.
So were you booing? I was on the air after that, and the anti-Alex Cora mob came out in droves.
They
for
were,
that
and I remember thinking, wow, really glad they got Steven Matz at the trade deadline after he gave up that bomb.
Right.
I know. But that was that's a good example of one.
And then they fell the two subsequent games against Baltimore, and now you lose a series against the Pittsburgh Pirates, despite hanging seven hits on Paul Skeens on Friday, which tied a career high that he gave up. So, yeah, it just felt like you left a little bit to be desired against the teams that you are supposed to be taking care of at this point. But The one thing that you can still say as we sit here on September 1st, John, is that the Red Sox are set to play meaningful games in September for the first time probably since 2021, and you could feel that kind of energy in the ballpark yesterday. You could absolutely feel that Red Sox understand that this – Red Sox fans understand that this team is different than, say, the last three that we've seen come the month of September.
And Red Sox begin the month of September today at 1:35. We will have the Mass Mutual pregame show with the pregame king himself, Joe Weil, at 12:35 right after our show. And, Dan, yesterday's game, the inside-the-park home run, that was an awesome moment.
Yeah.
I want to touch on Giolito, though, because for most of this season and summer, I personally, I've been kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop with Giolito, because this is a guy that missed all of last year because of injury. And if you go back to 2023, the last 6 weeks of 2023, he was one of the worst pitchers in baseball.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't have a good start this year either. But now I'm sitting here on September 5th. I mean, it's been three full months, June, July, and August, that he's been good. And maybe, Dan, the other shoe isn't going to drop, and he's just now a quality third starter on a pretty good team.
I would tend to lean towards your right. I will say, yesterday was a grind for Lucas Giolito. Yeah. He walked five, and I think he got away with facing the worst offense in baseball in terms of the amount of traffic. He went through a couple innings there in the, say, the third, the fourth, and the fifth, where he just did not have a good feel for the zone. So it ends up where he's able to walk the tightrope, gets away with it, six strong innings, you get into your higher leverage arms in the bullpen, and you get away with it. That performance would not have worked against the better teams in the league, that's for sure. But again, that's a caveat. You win and you give up one run over six innings. That's a great start, and it's a continuance of a season that I don't think a lot of people saw coming. There's a contract clause that he has that changes from a team option to a mutual option if he hits 140 innings this season. Coming into the year, did you think that was even a remote possibility that we'd be talking about 140 innings at a 3.38 ERA? That is far and away better than I thought you were going to get from him.
Yeah. If you had told me 140 innings before the year, I would have said, well, it's just long shot, right?
Yeah.
At best. Or it would have been 140 innings as your fifth starter and he wouldn't have been that good. Like, again, right. We're talking about a guy that, and Brian Bayo deserves this accolade as well, but we're talking about a guy in Giolito that over the past 3 months has been terrific. Like, we sat here at the trade deadline and we said, why didn't they get a number two starter? And I still think they screwed up and they made a mistake there. But to the credit of Bayo and Giolito, they've at least pitched well enough to overcome the Red Sox not doing anything more at the trade deadline, because May's been all over the place. Like, he's given you a couple quality starts, and then he's had games like Saturday where it's, you know, how long until someone is up in the bullpen, which felt like that took forever.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
But again, I think this team here, as we sit on September 1st, it's probably the best spot they've been in September 1st since 2021. Like, I think we can say, like, they're good, right? And I know we're on sports radio, so we're supposed to crap on them, but, like, they are good. Like, they've surpassed that, where this is a legitimately good team that can be a legit playoff team. I think as you look at this month of September, can you continue to ride Giolito and Bayo behind Crochet, and also Crochet, a guy who's already at a career high in innings? Like, that's going for, that's my only concern, is can you kind of continue to ride some of those guys throughout a high pressure stretch run?
So that's your biggest concern?
Yeah, and I mean, the offense has gone kind of quiet
and
in the past week.
That's my biggest concern.
Yeah, five
actually.
Runs yesterday, but prior to that, it was four games in a row with three or fewer runs.
Right. Like, to your point about the trade deadline, what you did do and what you did not do, you attempted to address the rotation, adding Dustin May. You've had a couple good, a couple bad. You attempted to address the bullpen with Steven Matz, who has been the far better of the two additions. But you really did nothing at the deadline to address the offense. You end up getting Nathaniel Lowe, who has been an absolute win.
He's been great
to this point, which is great. But I noticed yesterday, and you've noticed the last, say, 10 days or so, not having the pop of Willy or Abreu has really seemed to kind of show through as an issue. And I'm getting to the Andy Hart level of frustration with Masataka Yoshida. I cannot watch my quote-unquote designated hitter. Your only job is to hit, and yet he can do nothing more than roll over the ball to second base.
Designated ground out.
Exactly. Right. So I just, Trevor Story in the cleanup spot. Nathaniel Lowe there with Yoshida backing him up 5-6. Once you get past Jaron Duran at the top of the lineup, It doesn't even get thin. Thin's the wrong word. It just gets a little inconsistent for me, and I think you've kind of seen the other end of the roller coaster of the Red Sox offense recently, where you've had some games where you've needed guys to step up with runners on base, and you haven't gotten that big hit.
And I would say Friday night to me in that game against Skeens, that was probably the first game all year, at least I can think of, that you've finally really missed Rafael Devers.
Yeah.
And maybe it's because Abreu was out, because once Devers got traded, Abreu was your best power hitter, and he was good. But, you know, Roman Anthony hits that home run off Skeens, unbelievable moment, but it's a solo shot, so you're only up 2-0. It felt to me like, man, if you had had an Abreu or a Devers in the lineup that night, maybe you get one more key double. Because,
right,
again, as you said, 7 hits off Skeens, a career high for him. If you had been able to get an 8th hit, you know, or another home run, maybe you win that game and we're having a little bit of a different conversation,
yeah,
about the weekend. So
instead of 1-for-7 with runners in scoring position, you go 2-for-7, that game probably looks a lot different.
Exactly. So again, like, and I think it had a lot to do with, like you said, Abreu being out. That was the first game to me where I'm like, oh, maybe they do miss Devers a little bit in this kind of key spot against a great pitcher as well.
It's ironic. The Devers conversation now a few months removed from the trade is so ironic because...
Yeah. Breslow was right.
I feel like two things can be true. Yeah. Breslow was right in saying that they're going to play better baseball without Devers here, and that's true. And it looks like it really kind of galvanized the group and put the correct leaders in charge. It gave more power to the Bregmans and the Stories of the world versus just the guy who's paid the most as your leader. So one thing can be true, while I can also look at the lineup and go, man, I could use one more power bat somewhere in the middle of all of this just to take a little bit of pressure off of the guys who we named previously. So I still think it's been a net victory to see how well they've played without him here, but the pop is the pop, and I think that would make a difference in these kind of situations.
Yeah, and I agree it's been a net victory, and I compare the Devers trade very similar to the Luka Doncic trade. They were right about the player, they just made a bad trade.
right?
Like, Jordan Hicks is bad.
Oh, my God.
And then
God.
Who was the guy that they traded for May they got in the return?
Oh, Tibbs.
Tibbs,
yeah.
Who was your fifth prospect at the time.
Right.
And then you trade him for May, who hasn't been good. Like, so, again, you're right about the guy, and they've been better since. So I guess that comes into focus then. You're really waiting for Abreu to come back, right? Because
yes,
you don't want to rely, and as great as Anthony's been, and I've said this before on the airwaves here, he reminds me a lot of when the Royals first brought up Bobby Witt or the Padres first brought up Tatis Jr., like, wow, there's something different with this guy. Or the Braves first brought up Acuna Jr., like, wow, there's something different about this guy.
Right. However.
But, well, my thing is, I think it's unfair to him, and I don't think it's a good move to rely on a 21-year-old rookie to be your best player in your lineup.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? Your best
absolutely.
Power hitter,
yeah.
Your best player.
I mean, the strikeout percentage is something that you have to take into consideration.
Yeah, a lot of games 0-for-3, 3Ks, or 0-for-4, 3Ks.
And he'll still walk,
and he's
he'll
a young
still
player.
Get on base, he'll still be productive in some capacity, but the strikeouts that seem to come in the games where the rest of your offense is going cold, where maybe even subconsciously he's feeling, all right, if I'm not the one that hits it out of the park, if I'm not the one that hits the home run against Skeens, it doesn't really feel like any of the other 8 are going to do that. So I feel like there's at least a correlation between when the rest of the offense is going cold and he kind of starts to swing and miss a little bit.
Yeah, and I would agree. And again, I think it could be as simple as when you get Abreu back, some of that will solve itself.
Right.
And that would be the hope. So that was game yesterday, and it was, again, the inside of the park, that was cool. Like, that was exciting.
One of the loudest, so I was there yesterday, one of the loudest I've ever heard it was him coming around third when everybody realized, oh, so the Angry Lizard is going to score here.
A second inside the park home run for the Red Sox of the year.
Right.
First time since 1998, I think.
I know Nesson might have forgot that stat.
Yeah,
when they were
you
showing
it,
but that's okay.
But I want to ask you, because you were there yesterday.
Yeah.
Little trouble getting in.
Oh, my God. What a disaster. So I'm on the train with my, so I was lucky enough that I got the tickets through the station brag, and I took my family to the game, and we're riding on the Green Line getting towards the park, and I'm refreshing the ballpark.
You took
app.
The T?
Yeah.
That's your first mistake.
Well, I didn't want to pay to park, for being honest. Did the red line from Quincy got
sick
on
brag, bro.
Thank you, Jackson. Yeah, all this is a huge brag taking public transportation. So I'm sitting there and I'm refreshing the ballpark app, and it keeps giving me the same message. It says, "We've made a call to the bullpen. Please be patient. We're trying to figure this out." Not loading, not loading, not loading. I'm starting to very quietly panic because I've put together this whole day and I can't get the tickets. So we get to Fenway and there is a line all the way around from gate A all the way basically to gate E around the side of the park of people trying to get into the ticket office because the ballpark app was down. A Big Four pro sports league has one app that you can access the tickets on, and it doesn't work in an afternoon where 80% of the league is playing.
I'm a huge proponent of paper tickets.
Absolutely.
And for two reasons. One, you avoid a situation like this.
Right.
Two, I'm a nerd. I like to save the tickets of games I go to. Now, yeah. What do I do? Take a screenshot of my ballpark app and be like, I was at Red Sox versus Dodgers in July. I swear.
Yeah.
Like, I went to Roman Anthony's debut back in June. And I didn't actually plan to go. Like, we had gotten the tickets ahead of time, and he got called up at the last
minute.
Happened to be the same night.
That's incredible.
And I'm like, wow, this is... And in my mind, I'm like, hey, number one prospect in baseball. This dude could have a great career. I'm at his first game. And what I literally took a screenshot of my ballpark app, emailed it to myself, and I printed out a paper that's so I could show that I was there.
Right.
Like that, I'm like, come on, there's
See, that sucks. Yeah. I mean, I'm glad you got like, the... I'm glad you did that.
There should be an option. If you buy tickets, you can get a paper ticket.
So some do, and you were telling this story. I've heard this elsewhere, too. You can pay for a paper
Yeah, so
paper
talk about
copy.
A freaking scam, though, okay? So I went to an ALCS game in 2021 against the Astros. Kyle Schwarber hit a grand slam. Then they let him leave in free agency. It was
sure.
Cool.
You know.
So I'm at that game. You know, it's ALCS game. Red Sox win. And same deal, right? The tickets are on the phone, so it's like I can't get it. You know, I want to save a memento of me being here. Like, took a couple pictures, but I'd like something to hold in my hand.
Yeah.
So the Red Sox and the ballpark app had an option that you could get a commemorative ticket. I'm like, oh, okay, I'll do that. It was $10 extra, and it was a piece of glossy cardboard, which I'm not going to say it sucks, but it was nowhere near as cool as an actual ticket.
It's not a stub.
And I had to pay $10 extra. I paid $200 for the tickets themselves. And I had to pay $10 extra to get a commemorative ticket that wasn't even a real ticket.
Right.
I mean, I'm like, come
what
on.
A
like,
rip.
There should be an option. And look, if you get paper tickets and you lose them, that's your problem. Okay?
Well, yeah, of course.
But I mean, there should be an option that, if, especially in big games like the Roman Anthony debut, the series against the Dodgers in July, Skeens Friday night versus like, there should be an option that you can get paper tickets. I hate that, and it's every league. Patriots, same thing. Celtics, like if you went to the NBA Finals for the Celtics a couple years ago, was there an option to get a ticket?
I don't think
like,
so.
Not that I know of.
Yeah.
So it's just to me that. I'm a big paper ticket guy, and it would avoid that fiasco you went through yesterday.
What a mess. So the poor Red Sox ticket employees were walking down the line saying, okay, if you can't access it, go to redsox.com/mytickets, try to log in. So I'm trying to remember a password with my email to get into the website to find the tickets. And eventually I was able, after resetting my password 17,000 times, to get in, get onto the website itself, and then be able to scan the tickets. But what an absolute mess. So we got in. I mean, we missed the first inning of the game. Luckily, nothing happened really till the fourth or fifth. Yeah. I mean, on a beautiful day, could not have asked for a better day, a better game, and one of the cooler things that you can see in baseball and inside the park home run. But I was losing my mind, and a good couple thousand others were right around me doing the same thing.
Well, I'll tell you, we got a little over a year until the midterm elections. Yeah. Let's start a campaign for paper tickets to come back.
I would. That's the change that I can vote for.
Yes. Yes, we can.
Yeah.
As some would say.
We can print.
Yes, we can print. We do have a lot of football to get in today, Dan.
Right.
We are going to circle back on the Red Sox later on in the show because, as I said, it is September 1st, folks. Let's see where they are on October 1st, hopefully in the playoffs. But we have a lot of football to get to, both NFL and a little bit of college football sprinkled in as well. If you want to join the show on this Labor Day, 617-779-7937. That is the phone line and the text line. Before we go any further, though, it is time to trend with Dan Ball.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. The Red Sox salvaged the final game of their series against the Pittsburgh Pirates yesterday at Fenway Park. The final score was 5-2. Jarren Duran hit an inside-the-park home run at 14.71 seconds. It was the fastest of the four such home runs by a Red Sox in the StatCast era. That's since 2015. It was also the fastest of the seven inside-the-park home runs in Major League Baseball this season. Boston's opened up a three-game series against the the Guardians this afternoon. First pitch at 1:35. Brian Baio will start opposite Parker Messick. And you can listen to the game right here on WEEI FM 93.7 and across the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, go shopping, get rewarded. Mass Mutual pregame show with our guy Joe Weil is today at 12:35. And Cooper Boardman and Lenny DiNardo have the call of the game. The Patriots open up the 2025 season on Sunday at 1 o'clock against the Las Vegas Raiders. The game will be broadcast on CBS. New England is currently a 2.5-point favorite. From across the NFL, the Cowboys have agreed to a 4-year extension worth $92 million with Pro Bowl cornerback Deron Bland. The deal has $50 million in guaranteed money, including a $22 million signing bonus. And finally, Bill Belichick and the UNC Tar Heels play their first game tonight as they host TCU. Kickoff is at 8 p.m. TCU is 3.5-point favorites. You can hear the game right here on WEEI. I'm Dan Ball. This is Trending Now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More Jones and Keefe with Lions and Ball coming up.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Right after this.
We got to keep learning how to win. Okay, we got to keep learning how to win. Okay, and there's a method to everything we do. Bring it up. Okay, we're trying to get everybody the work they need to be ready for the season. To be ready for the season when this matters, okay? Winning matters, but eventually some of this stuff is really gonna matter, okay? So we got great looks at situations that we can coach off of, okay? Good and stuff that we need to fix.
Back here on WEEI. John Lyons alongside Dan Ball. We're filling in for Jones and Keefe up until 12:30 when the Red Sox play their first game of September against the Guardians at 1:30. The pregame coverage with Joe Weil will begin at 12:30. We're going to spend some time now talking football. 617-779-7937 is the phone line and the text line. We do have people on the text line here complaining about the paper ticket, digital ticket thing. Look, I'm team paper tickets.
Always.
Me a damn ticket.
Or at least give me the option to
do
that.
Yeah, especially for big games, man.
Yeah.
Like, let me have a physical ticket to hold.
Why can't I get a collector's item out of this?
Yeah.
Why do I have to pay extra money to go to the team store for a collector's item from this game?
Yeah. My dad, on his own accord, will not be able to go to a Red Sox game today. He doesn't have a cell phone.
Your dad doesn't have a cell phone?
Not only he doesn't have an iPhone or a smartphone, he does not have a cellular phone.
So he just works for the landline.
Yeah, absolutely.
Respect the hell out of that.
Yeah. Honestly, he's probably a lot happier in life than a lot of us.
My dad might be the happiest person on the face of the planet. Yeah.
No, like burner phones or anything.
No.
That voice is Jackson, our producer, by the way. Yes. Those who listen to the Greg Hill Show know Jackson well. But no cell phone.
No cell phone, nope. And he doesn't even, he goes to the store for my mom, and he doesn't even take hers with him.
Good for him.
It's a good way to go through life.
I respect the hell out of that.
I kind of, yesterday, sitting in that line, refreshing the damn ballpark app, I kind of wanted to live that life. I think I said to my lovely mother, I said, I'm about to throw this across Lansdowne, and you guys can figure out how to get in this game, because I'm sick of that.
The kind Mrs. Ball.
I know. So
enjoy a game.
I know. She's trying to calm me down as I'm losing my mind on this damn thing. But whatever. So
I did start a thing this summer. Well, I did it once last summer, and then once in February. And then again, a few times this summer, I would go a day without social media and not use it, or either not using my phone at all or just use it if someone called or texted me.
Just a purposeful cleanse?
Yeah, it would be like in 2002, I'd have to actually watch ESPN or the news to see what happened in the world.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was great, though, I got
to
say.
It's funny you say that. So I went to a Queen tribute band concert last night with my mom.
Oh.
And we're out in front. We're about to go in.
Did your dad miss the call to go?
No. She wouldn't go. And so we're sitting out in line. We're about to go in. And I realized I left my phone in the car. So I'm like, oh, Mom, let me get the keys. I'm going to grab my phone. And she goes, why? I'm like, so I can be connected with the world and maybe take a video. She's like, why? We're going to be watching a show. Why do you need your phone? I'm like, oh.
It's a fair point.
Yeah. Yes, excellent point.
I went to one of the shows where they give you the pouch that locks away your phone. It was a John Mulaney stand-up, and he didn't want any of the material leaking for his next special. And it took a little while to get used to that. I couldn't just, reach down and screw around on it. But it was kind of nice.
No, I
you were locked in and fully focused on what was going on for 90 minutes or however long it was.
I did it a few times this summer. And it was great.
Yeah.
So, spend a day without social media, folks. Get off the internet, as some radio hosts in Boston would say.
There you go. So, except for WEEI.com.
Yeah. Of course. Go on that internet site.
Right.
All the time.
Right.
WEEI.com.
Right. Read some of John Lyons' original, original content.
You know what? I have some original content on there.
Beautiful.
For sure. So, Dan, let's get into Patriots.
Right.
We are now less than a week away from the Mike Vrabel era having its first game. The Mike Vrabel year has already began.
Are you happy with the offseason from where it started, from firing Jerod Mayo to where we are now? Has it been a productive offseason, a net positive for the Patriots?
Yeah, definitely a net positive.
Okay.
Is it everything I wanted? No. But on the whole, I think, look, Mike Vrabel is legit. I'm not sitting here. He won coach of the year before. I know he's gone to the AFC Championship game. He's a really good coach. I'm a huge supporter of Josh McDaniels. I think he's one of the best offensive coordinators in the league, and he's been proven to do a good job with good young quarterbacks, which Drake May is. And I think the roster, I have concerns about their depth. And I talked about this yesterday on the show, and if you missed any of that show or any of this show, WEEI.com, as we mentioned, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, Carrier Pigeon, however you get your
smoke signal,
audio content, smoke signals, Vatican White smoke, whatever, right? Find us on there. But I have real concerns about their depth, okay? But I do think much more than the last couple of years, they have quality starters in every group now, right? So again, linebacker, the depth is a big problem. But Robert Spillane is a quality starter. Now, who's going to play linebacker next to him? That's a problem.
Right.
Hunter Henry is a quality starter. Now, who's going to play tight end next to him in 12 personnel? I don't know. Steph Diggs, he's not the number one that he was 4 years ago. But he's a quality starter, as is DeMario Doug. And you can go through all the different groups, right? Christian Gonzalez is an all-pro. Carlton Davis is a quality starter. So they have qualities. Even I would say, I think Will Campbell will be a quality starter. Now, will he live up to fourth overall in the draft? Probably not right away.
Yeah.
But I think he'll at least be good enough, and he'll be a quality starter. And
Starter at the left tackle position?
Which they have not had in a very long time.
Right.
And I would also say Mike Onwenu. That's a quality starter. Now, I have real concerns about who their center is. Can Morgan Moses play a whole year? There will be growing pains with Will Campbell. Left guard, who's it going to be? Right. So there are, but my point is that for the first time in a while, at least every position group has a quality starter or two. And so if you look at that and the fact that you upgraded head coach, You upgraded at offensive coordinator. I feel like you upgraded at defensive coordinator as well. Your defense did take a big step back last year. I am happy with the offseason. Am I ecstatic? Is it everything I wanted? No, but it is a net positive. I am happy.
But everything and everything within the proper context to say that you are
happy
in the
offseason. Like, I wanted DK Metcalf. They didn't get him. Like, right. Okay. You know, like,
you're still going to have
Laramie Tunsil would have been cool.
But, you're still going to have to prove, and I think about this line from Tom Curran all the time with respect to the Patriots, you're still going to have to prove to 31 other teams and their players and their agents that you're not football Siberia any longer. I think given the fact that you were a team without a head coach and really without a direction and without much to build upon other than your quarterback and your cornerback, I think what you were able to do bringing in professionals, guys that actually have put good football on tape as starters for other teams in the league versus what you were trying to convince yourself of last year, which is guys that have never done this before at the professional level. Oh, they'll figure it out. They'll learn. They'll get coached up enough by this rookie coaching staff. I think it's a great point. I mean, look, just on the defensive side, reading the first line of your depth chart, Williams, Tonga, Barmore, Chaisson, Spillane, Ellis, Landry, Davis, Woodson, Hawkins, Gonzalez, and Jones. Those are just the 12 that are listed on the RLADS depth chart. How many of those are additions? That's 8 or 9 additions that you've done to completely rework your defense.
And that's a much better group than last year.
100%.
Now, again, as we said, you go down the list and you're like, okay, what happens if Spillane gets hurt? What happens if Barmore is not healthy? Then then you have some real concerns. But that top 10, 11, 12 guys?
Yeah.
That's a step forward from a year ago.
And one of the thinnest position groups, I think, that a lot of people identified coming into the offseason, just in terms of raw talent, was wide receiver. I'm actually pretty encouraged with how that room rounded out during the course of camp, because I think Kayshon Boutte proved that there is another gear to his game that he could hopefully reach. Seemed like a very positive camp for him. And Efton Chisholm continued to prove everybody wrong. Oh, he's going to fall off after OTAs. That's just the underwear Olympics. Proved him wrong. Oh, he's going to fall off once you actually get him into game action in the preseason. Proved him wrong again. He's not going to make the team. You got plenty of veterans. You got guys with multiple years of NFL experience getting cut in order for him to make the roster. So I kind of like how the end of that room rounded out. The issue, again, to your point, is you just don't have a lot of top-end talent in some of those key positions, and that's something you're going to have to combat this year.
The receiver group is interesting to me because I think last year you had the worst offensive line in the league and either the worst or the second-worst receiver room. Like, right. You are down in the dumps in both of those positions. And you look at receiver, you add Mac Hollins, who's an average player in his career.
Right.
You draft Kyle Williams, who there's a lot to like, but he is a little undersized. He's a rookie coming in. And then you add Stephon Diggs, who, if you remember, Dan, and you're on here every day, what was the conversation when they signed him? Can he be back by week 5?
Right.
Week 4? That was the conversation. What's he going to look like? Can he be back by October?
Is he going to play more than half a season productively for the Patriots?
And a guy that had, 800 yards receiving in half a season last year. So you're like, oh, can you get two-thirds of a season at 800 yards now? Something like that. And, again, he's not the number one that he was, but I think he's a guy that is by far the most talented guy you have in the receiver room. But also, for the first time, Dan, in a long time, it's a guy at receiver that a defensive coordinator actually has to game plan for and think about. And again, that's a big deal for, they haven't had that maybe since Julian Edelman in early 2020. Like, a guy that, we actually have to make sure we stop this guy or he'll hurt us.
And a guy who defensive players who your secondary at least has to think twice about.
Yeah.
Has a guy to keep an extra eye on.
Legit raw ability. And I would say Kayshon Boutte, he shut me up this spring and summer because I had real questions about him in the spring. I was like, does this guy get it from just being a pro standpoint and doing all the little things? And look, I was down there a handful of times. I think the guys that had the two best camps were Caleb on Chaisson and Kayshon Boutte.
Yeah.
Like, he came a lot. Like, he's their starting. I mean, and I know they might play Mac Hollins there. We'll see. He's been a starting caliber receiver in camp. And I'm not sitting here telling you he's going to be an all-pro, but that room, I think, to your point, has made a ton of progress. Now, are they the Eagles receiver? Are they the Seattle or the Rams receiver? No.
Of course not.
No.
But they need to not be what PFF ranked them at the beginning of the offseason, which was the second worst wide receiving room in football behind the Browns. Or ahead
like
of
if
the
they
Browns.
Could go from 31 to 22, again, we're still talking about the 22nd receiver room. We're still talking about them needing to make another addition next offseason. But that would be a big jump forward. And if you look at 2 years ago, they lost 13 games. 8 of them were one possession games. Last year, they lost 13 games. 6 of them were one possession games. So that's 14 one possession losses in the last 2 years. Can a receiver room that goes from 31 to 22 help you win a couple of those type games this year? Same thing with an offensive line that goes from 32 to 21, 22. Can that help you win a game or two? And then that's, to me, because we sit here like, oh, they won 4 games last year. Like, they really won 2.5.
Yeah.
Because the Bills tried to lose, and the Bears had their whole coaching staff fired within 3 weeks of that game.
All right.
So can that get them? What can get them from 4 to 8? Because a lot of people are like, oh, can they win 8 games? Can they win 9 games? Right? There was that article Jeff Howe wrote with the NFL execs that, you know, they're going to exceed expectations. Well, what gets you there? And I think a lot of it is obviously the progress of Drake May.
Yeah.
But it's those two groups. Are they upgrading from awful to acceptable? Which, again, acceptable. But I think that can get you to win some of those games.
100%, because I think everybody's kind of landed in the consensus that the defense should be pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like top 10 is the top of what you're hoping for, but at least in that 10 to 15 range, league average and above for this defensive unit, I feel like more people than not, and people who know a lot more about football than I do, are expecting that for this group if everybody can stay healthy. And there are plenty of questions with that. The offense has a ton of variability and, you know, top end and bottom end potential, where your offensive line, to your point, you figured out 2 of the spots, and left guard maybe throughout camp became the biggest issue that people weren't expecting. I still don't know what the plan is.
I like Jared Wilson. I think he will be a good pro. But I'll go back to something that Megan Ottolini wrote for the website a few weeks ago. Do you really want to rely on 2 rookies as the left side of your offensive line? Even if, like, I'm in the minority, Dan, I think Will Campbell will be a good left tackle over the course of his career.
Yeah.
And I think Jared Wilson will be a good player. But are they both going to be really good players in September together?
Right, like, next to each other, I don't know.
Yeah.
I still don't understand why Jared Wilson didn't get more consistent reps at his natural position. Because if you had Wilson as your center, and I get he's a rookie, he's going to make mistakes, but you're plagued with issues on the O-line. So why not give him a chance as the highest natural center that was drafted this past year to try to form a relationship with Drake May and use a veteran, kick a guy like Bradbury over, so at least you have a guy who has played in the league in between your 2 rookies. Would it work?
Yeah. Great. Or Ben Brown at guard.
Yeah. Somebody who could at least kind of take a little bit of the pressure off of the 2 rookies that are now playing next to each other. Would it work? I don't know, but I would have liked to have seen that play out a little bit more. So you have 3 out of 5 spots, or at least 2.5 on your offensive line that you're not sure about, and then your wide receiving room seems to have a lot more potential and guys who are ready to take another step. But of course, you have to see it. So, yeah, I think that elevates from people who are in the 6 to 7 win category, which seems to be the lower end, to people who are saying, no, this is a 9-10 win team and a playoff team. I think your offense is your big change there.
If you go back to Mike Vrabel's introductory press conferences, one of the things he stressed in that press conference was, we want to eliminate bad football and take advantage of bad football. So is this team now, Dan, good enough to beat bad teams? Because you go back to last year, they got punched in the mouth by the Jaguars in the second half of that game. They lost to the freaking Titans in overtime. That was actually Drake May's probably worst game. But they lost to the Titans in overtime. Remember they lost to the Colts? There was that 19-play drive, including the 2-point conversion to win. Like, these were bad teams they were losing to last year. And I know they lost a close game to Seattle, which was a good team, and some other ones, but they lost to bad teams. Are they now at the point where they can beat bad teams? Because I'm not sitting here, like, I don't think they're good enough to beat the Ravens or the Bills or the Bengals later in the season.
Right.
You know, because they play the Bengals not in September this time.
Right.
But are they good enough now to finally, can they beat the bad teams that are on their schedule?
I think we'll reach a point in 2025 where they will be able to. I'm not sure come week 1 that enough of the questions that we just talked about have been solved where they're going to be able to beat
that
the bad
Raiders
teams.
Game is not going to be easy in
like,
6 days.
Will Campbell, like, that's Will, as much as you think he has potential, and I think he does as well, your welcome to the NFL moment being Max Crosby and TJ Watt is a tough way to get into it.
And even that Raiders team, like, okay, it's a new head coach, new quarterback, but if you think about it, Pete Carroll and Geno Smith have worked together in Seattle before, so it's not a new combination.
Right.
And it's a Hall of Fame-level head coach. Like, so again, I think the Patriots can win that game, but I think a lot of people are like, oh, the Raiders stink, like the Patriots will win. Like, no, that's going to come down to it, and we'll see. Because one thing, Dan, this year, you look at their schedule, we've talked about a lot, there are a lot of bad teams on it.
Yeah.
Like, you have New Orleans, you have Cleveland, you have Tennessee, you have Carolina. Like, are you now, because last year you weren't good enough to beat a lot of those teams.
Right, right. And I think
even the year before.
A lot of those teams.
You lost to the Giants and Colts in back-to-back weeks
or whatever.
Like,
yeah.
It's been a while since you've been good enough to just beat bad teams.
So what's the answer to, what do you think the answer to your question is?
I think they are. I think they're good enough.
Come week one, they're good enough.
Well, I don't know if they're good enough to beat the Raiders, because I think the Raiders aren't just a bad team.
Okay.
But I think they are now good enough to beat, like, I expect them to beat Carolina, New Orleans, Cleveland, Tennessee, the Jets at least once.
Yeah.
And, oh, by the way, that's five wins right there. Just beating bad teams on your schedule. And if you sweep the Jets, it's six. So that's where, like, when people ask me, where are you at on win total and all this, I like nine wins, because I think they're good enough to beat those bad teams. Now, if they come out and they lose, if they get blown out by the Raiders and they don't look good against Miami and then they, like, lose to Carolina, I'm going to say, oh, dear, like, we're in trouble. But I think they are now good enough to beat the really bad teams.
Okay.
Which is, again, the first bar to clear.
Right.
Stick with us here on WEEI. I'm John Lyons. That's Dan Ball. We're going to continue this Patriots discussion coming up right after this quick break. Back here on WEEI. Filling in for Jones and Keith. I'm John Lyons alongside Dan Ball.
Man, mix that into your coffee this morning.
You know, you can always kind of tell who the producer is, Dan, because if it's Stiz, you get mostly rap.
That's
like gangsta rap or rap.
Yep.
If it's Jackson, you get a lot of this stuff, right? If it's Shime, you get kind of a mix, but maybe leaning a little more towards like the Greg Hill type music, right?
Yep.
And then if it's Brian Frazoco, you get kind of a mix. You can always, I feel like not always, but a lot of times I can tell who the producer is just by the music selection.
Yeah, Stiz and Jackson seem to have the most distinct style.
Yeah.
Where you know exactly who you're getting right from the first song that you hear.
Jackson's middle name is Heavy Metal.
Well, that's funny because I don't have a middle name, so it could be.
So, you know what? Welcome to your new middle name.
Absolutely. We'll start the petition. Speaking of change you can believe in.
Jackson Heavy Metal Burns. Like, that's a name. That's a name.
I like it. And you know what? And I go off the hosts. When I see you guys headbanging, I keep with that kind of feel. And you guys were headbanging the first one, so I went a little heavier. Hey.
Works for me.
Got to get locked in on this Labor Day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I did my first ever show with you and with Jackson producing, and it was...
That was your first ever show? When was it? Wait, when was that February?
In for the Greg Hill show in November last year. It was right before Black Friday.
Yeah, right after Thanksgiving. Actually, side note, I love doing that show every year.
It was...
Ken Laird, if you're listening, schedule me for that again.
There you go.
The Black Friday morning Greg Hill show. I love doing that every year.
I'm happy to ride sidecar with you for a 1 year. But that was the music that was coming in at 7 in the morning. I'm like, okay, all right, we're in this right now. We're doing this. So, yeah, set a nice tone.
Yeah. Oh, we were locked in by 7:05 a.m. We definitely were. That was Jackson Burns, whose voice you heard producing. Dan Ball, we've been talking a lot about the Patriots and are they good enough now to beat bad teams. I think they are good enough to beat bad teams, and they have a handful on their schedule. It was a little peculiar. Did I say it was a little odd this week?
Right.
Jabril Peppers gets released after cutdown day. And I don't know if you saw what he tweeted out. I think it was this morning where he tweeted that he's had 7 head coaches, 6 defensive coordinators. He can fit into any scheme. To me, that's a direct shot at all the people who said, well, maybe he was released for a scheme fit reason and they kept Kyle Duggar, but they didn't want to keep 2 guys like him. That feels like a direct shot, and frankly, Dan Ball, I agree with him.
I don't blame him for saying that at all. First of all, this caught me completely by surprise. To see that he was the starting safety from last year that got cut, I feel like caught everybody by surprise. And I'm just surprised that the Patriots identified, because if you use the classic metric of, is he one of your best 53 players? Obviously, he's one of your best.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app
that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and sugar-free. First-round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
53. However, he was a guy who was identified as a leader in last year's Patriots debacle by last year's coaching staff in a group of captains to start the year that's now completely gone. So it cannot be for me, oh, he's not a scheme fit. Because you just spent the entire preseason trying to tell me that Kyle Duggar was no longer a fit on this defense, and you kept him, and now you're expecting him to be at least a rotational player. So to you, John, what is it? Are they blaming scheme? Is it leadership? Like, where does this come from, especially to your point, a couple days after cutdown
day? It's not really an age thing, because Peppers turns 30 in October, but Kyle Duggar turns 30 in March,
right,
coming up. So it's not like one guy's 4 years younger than the other or something like that. And look, I know they like Craig Woodson. Craig Woodson is a tremendous athlete who's extremely versatile. There's a lot to like there. Jaylen Hawkins, 600 snaps at free safety last year. There's a lot to like there. I think right now, and for this season, Jabril Peppers is a better football player than both of those guys.
Right.
And here's the thing. This is where, to me, you have that fine line in football and in the NFL. Every coach has a scheme that they like, okay? We all know it. But part of being a good coach is, if you have a really good player, finding what he does well and either adapting him to your scheme or trying to fit around your scheme somewhat around his skills so you can utilize him. Like, maybe, and I talked earlier about my concerns about their linebacker depth. Well, maybe you could have Jabril Peppers in the box next to Robert Spillane on some downs.
Right.
Maybe, and look, maybe Peppers would not play as much as he did under Bill Belichick and Gerard Mayo.
But that's okay.
But he still would get on the field. Like, that's, especially if you have an injury. Like, what's going to, and God forbid, what's going to happen if Craig Woodson gets injured?
Like, I mean, that gives you, who's left or in, even your, if in some, your room? At that point, it's Hawkins, Duggar, Pettison, I guess Brendan Schooler, if you want to argue that.
Look at a ripple effect, right? Christian Gonzalez has been out injured most of the training camp. Davis has been a little bit in and out, and I think both are good players. In fact, I think they could be the best corner tandem in the NFL, but what if one of them isn't available? And the trickle-down effect is, okay, now Alex Austin's playing a corner spot. Maybe you want to go three safeties instead of three corners in certain situations, and now you don't have Peppers. So I just, to me, I didn't like the move. I think, and the financial thing to me is BS. Like, you have all this cap space, you have all this real money to spend. Either way, you can keep the guy around.
And I know that this leadership group has been known to penny pinch a lot, and they, you know, they have the least amount of money spent over the last 10 years. Whatever number you want to cite, it's fair. But you also did just have the most expensive offseason of any team in football. So clearly you were willing to spend at least some money.
Yeah, and
money.
They even offered Chris Godwin more money than he re-signed in Tampa Bay. So right. To your point, they not only spent a lot of real money, they were willing to spend more. So yeah, the Peppers, again, I understand if this team under Vrabel, they want to be more athletic on defense and like defensive linemen, right? They want to just attack upfield and not take up as many gaps. So it's going to be a different type of player than
right. They're
used to. I get that.
Same reason that it seemed like Anthony Jennings was on the
chopping
block.
And he's another great example, right? A guy who was a great fit with Belichick and great fit with Mayo. Maybe it's not a fit, by the way, on the roster.
Right.
But not maybe as good. But to me, and I put Peppers and Jennings in the same category, I think they're too good to outright cut. Like, you should be able to find a way to utilize them. And the only caveat I'll add is if Peppers went to them and said, hey, I'm not going to play as much, like, release me.
Right.
But if that was the case, I don't think he'd be tweeting what he's tweeting.
No, of course not.
Like, you know,
we
would
have found that information out because there were two cuts that happened.
Bourne asked for his release and they said it.
Right. Bourne did and Marcus Epps did as well. Yeah. Both said, like, hey, I'd like to be cut. And then Vrabel had the conversation. It's the, you know, like a girlfriend when you break up, but you both say it's mutual, whatever. He kind of made an offhand
joke
about
it.
It's
not you, it's me. Yeah.
We would have heard something if he said, I don't think I'm a fit. I'm not going to play as much. I mean, did you have any indication that he was? I thought he was the one starter that we knew about.
And even in the last preseason game, I know he started that, and some people looked at that as a red flag, and obviously I was wrong about this, but I looked at it as well. He hasn't had a lot of snaps with Craig Woodson. This is an opportunity for them to get snaps together on the field.
Right.
And it made sense. And they did pull him early. It's not like he was, like, Kyle Duggar was playing in preseason games in the fourth quarter. Peppers wasn't. And so, again, I don't like that move. I think, to your point, he's one of your best 53 players. I also think he's a good enough player, they should be able to find a way to utilize him.
I just don't know how you look at that safeties room right now and don't go, this is extremely thin without
Peppers.
Well,
you're betting
here.
A lot on a guy in Craig Woodson who's a rookie, again, right. Who I like, but he's a rookie, and Jalen Hawkins, who has never been an integral part of a good defense.
Right.
Like, he's had some moments, but he's never been a key part of a good... You're betting a lot on those guys.
The one thing I'll say is maybe there's another move to come. But again, this already happened a couple days after cutdown day. So teams have already gone through their waiver and practice squad process, and so they're kind of getting their group set. It's just the timing is strange. The idea that they don't see a fit there is very strange. I wonder what happened. What happened behind closed doors in the 48, 72 hours following cutdown day that made this situation so untenable that you had to make this move?
We're going to hear from Patriots head coach Mike Vrabel at 11:30 a.m. I'm sure he'll talk about that situation. But first, there's a former Patriots head coach, Dan Ball. I've been waiting to get to this all morning.
You are decked out in your Carolina gear.
I actually
today,
bought
by the
a
way.
UNC hat, like, just because he got a job there. Like Stiz did, I did the same thing. He has his first game tonight. We're going to talk about what our expectations for Bill Belichick at UNC, and is there anything he can do there that will have a significant impact on his legacy? All that coming up next.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.